I'm Kate Remington with violinist Andrew Smith and pianist Joshua Pierce, and I'm just looking forward to talking with both of you about this amazing series that we have planned called Mozart Hidden in Plain Sight. You'll be presenting all of Mozart's works for violin and piano, and we do mean every single one of them, which is fantastic. So thank you both so much for coming in and talking about it.
Very happy to be here, and it is a great series. It's a fantastic series, and it's a dichotomy of early, middle, and late Mozart. And, you know, it's hard to put, personally, my finger on exactly what makes these sonatas so unique, because there's an intrinsic value with the early period to the middle and to the later period. And some are so virtuosic. I mean, there is so much, you know, without thinking exactly what the violin is doing right now in my conversation, there's so many notes involved, you know, in some of these sonatas. It's incredible. And it's very highly, highly developed and highly frenetic. So I sometimes think, what was Mozart really thinking when he was writing this? Because he had a great ego about a lot of things, you know? So I'm sure he might have been thinking that, I got to make this very difficult. I got to make this so impossible for most pianists to play that I'm the only one that can do it.
Well, Andrew, what is the difference in the violin parts between these virtuosic sonatas that Josh was just talking about and, say, the violin concertos?
Well, I think the other thing about the violin part, when he conceived these were very much like what they call accompanied sonatas, mm-hmm. which is sort of a format that you don't really have nowadays, where the violinist was really almost accompanying the virtuoso pianist. And, you know, he and his sister had this sort of great relationship, especially, and a lot of these come from the early years, and they would like to sort of sit next to each other and play as fast as possible. but you can imagine that some of these virtuoso piano parts are sort of written a little bit like a joke almost that he might have had in the family, you know, being able to play incredibly fast with lots of notes. So the violin concertos are just very different. They were sort of middle and later period stuff, and so they're obviously written as a virtuoso pieces in their own rights. And in these sonatas, the violin is very important, but sometimes it sort of plays a role where it's sort of coloration, especially in the early sonatas.
I would say definitely coloration, but there's a definite organic component within the violin and the piano, how they work in tandem, mm-hmm. how they play off one another, and how they also amplify, you know, the instrument itself, yeah. vis-a-vis one against the other. But, you know, you're talking about in the early sonatas, it was kind of a social media event.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is a way of getting people together. You know, a lovely young daughter of a family, a noble family or upper middle class family. You know, it was the thing to be a pianist, to be a keyboard player. I should say keyboard player. They didn't have a piano back then. They had different types of keyboards. And to invite, a good-looking young man to play, you know, it's like almost a dating scene,
right,
so to speak.
Yeah.
That's really what it was, to get people together. And so the accompanied sonata worked quite well until he came across a Dresden composer by the name of Joseph Schuster, who wrote these incredible six sonatas. Everything was in six, because Mozart wrote six sonatas here, six sonatas there. But it was a kind of composite of this incredible writing that Mozart was very much enthused over, but he was also a little bit jealous, you know, and because he wrote to his father saying that, I came across these incredible sonatas by Joseph Schuster, and you know what? I think I can do just as well or better.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to try my hand at this to create another kind of violin and piano sonata.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing about these sonatas. They're definitely transitional, is that even though actually I'm totally in love with the very, very early things that he wrote when he was sort of six, but they're really they're really beautiful. But and very fresh
and very elegant.
And mm-hmm. Mozart in a way you've never really heard him before. But when he came to these sort of opuses that he discovered in Mannheim, that, you know, they're, he was very aware that he was doing something unusual, and he would he was writing back to his family saying, you know, I've done something really cool here.
Yeah.
And then he went on straight from writing that six into another six. So he was obviously you know, there's obviously a changing style that he was aware that he was breaking new ground for the violin sonata. You know?
Sure. Well, can you tell in the you know, we often hear that a composer will use his most kind of intimate voice, or there's an intimate quality to his chamber music that you don't get in larger public works like concertos and symphonies and stuff. So, yeah, right. Do you really feel with these violin sonatas that Mozart is just throwing out ideas that wouldn't have worked in any other kind
Absolutely.
Of medium?
Absolutely, yeah.
Also, you see his influences too, like Christian Bach, you know, the early classical period, Carl Philipp Emanuel Bach. It feeds into some of his earlier sonatas. And I find that his very early sonatas, some of the writing is quite virtuosic for the time. Hmm. You know, for his age.
And expressive.
And very expressive. Yeah. No question about it. And still, the violin is of an accompanied nature in the early sonatas, but it seems to work so well. I mean, he utilizes the violin in such a sophisticated manner where it does play off the piano, the keyboard, and the keyboard does play off the violin.
Well, because he played both of those instruments
yes, he did.
To virtuosic standards, so he knew what they could both do.
Exactly.
So it's not like you know, writing with one hand behind your back and you had to kind of compensate and not know what a violin could do. So.
Yeah, and you get, you know, obviously he was dealing with different types of instruments, but you get the feeling that in a way that, you know, Beethoven wouldn't, that he knew how to blend the instruments. So, you know, Stravinsky always found it really difficult to write for violin and piano because you had to treat the violin like a percussion instrument. But with a Mozart, it, you know, some of those tones you hang on fit inside the piano resonances, don't they?
Yes.
They fit inside the keyboard
yes.
resonance. It's fantastic.
And there's quite an openness about his writing, too. It's kind of a fresh quality of sound for the time period, I think. And he's not afraid to maybe fall on his face a little bit if it doesn't work, because he will make something a success, even though one hearing it might feel, well, you know, I think I heard better, or he could have done better, but it's something that works out in the end so, you know, uniquely. Very, very wonderful. I find the sonatas quite amazing, just amazing. That Kurzweil 26?
Yeah, from The Hague. Yeah,
from The Hague, he's 10 years old.
Wow.
And it sounds like he's in his 20s.
Oh, yeah.
It's just amazing. It is so sophisticated.
But it also, like, they have references of, you know, you realize that, obviously, he was traveling all around Europe, and you realize that he's intimately aware of his audiences and slightly changing the style. You know, the Paris sonatas have some beautiful sort of intimate, obviously referencing French tastes at that time, and then the Hague sonata is you know, they're all slightly different. So you get a sort of a sense that he's really aware of his audiences when he's writing for them, because he's traveling to a new place and trying to impress people.
Well, and that's what's so fun too about listening to his music, because he was such a sponge and he could really soak up whatever the fashion was in that particular area. And he actually said one time that he did his best writing, or at least writing on the road, was really easy for him. Which was good, because
he was on the road most of his time.
I think, and also in a vicarious way, he was almost training his audiences to listen to new material, to listen to new ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And he did it in such a way that you just listen to it and say, oh, that's just so wonderful. You know what I mean? There was nothing really to complain about.
Yeah, definitely. Well, the six performances that you'll be doing on the series are all really wonderful. And Andrew, I have to hand it to you for organizing them, because every single one of them is just filled with gems, and every single one of them gives us a really intimate view into his composing process, because you didn't organize them chronologically. There's a little bit of music from each of his sort of the periods in his life.
Right, so. Beginning, middle, and the latter period of his life.
And the fragments as well.
Yeah.
Which are the fun. I mean, there's some
of those
fragments.
Yeah, let's talk about those.
Ridiculous.
Those are so interesting, because I haven't heard really any of them. And so it's going to be so neat to hear them performed live.
Yeah, we've done a few things, because some of the fragments are very fragmented, and then a violin part, so you can see the compositional process, what he was thinking of when he put the piece together, and we've sort of left it like that, sort of mid cadence, so that audiences can see how he was actually composing, which is sort of useful. And then there are these things like the Fantasy. It's just a stunning piece of work that, you know, is I mean, it's like a, it's very much like CP Bach.
You're talking about Kreutzfeldt
396,
right?
Yeah,
396,
and it's,
right.
And, you know, you don't, you imagine that he couldn't find anywhere in public to publish it because it's such an intimate, amazing piece of music. It's almost like, you know, it didn't have a place in a, as a violin sonata because it was such a standalone, stunning piece. And it's never really played. I mean, it's played as a solo piano
piece. I had an old recording
piece.
Growing up, Walter Gieseking, who played that as a solo piano piece.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
it can stand alone.
Yeah. Well, I was interested to read that with one of the sonatas, or actually there were a couple of them, that he wrote with Josefa von Arnhammer.
I never know how to pronounce it.
Well, he just, instead of playing the violin in that performance, he just, there was another piano there, and so he just played the violin part on a piano. So clearly there was, you know, he was playing fast and loose with with the orchestration and and the instruments.
Yes.
Now, you guys have been performing together for quite a long time. How do you work out things like, you know, accents and phrasing and that kind of thing as you're, you know, rehearsing these sonatas?
We have a kind of mental telepathy. It's amazing. I mean,
it comes from a lot of coffee.
A lot of coffee also.
Which is appropriate for Mozart.
I think living a few years as a performer and doing different things in music, that you kind of pick up from one another. At least I feel that's the case, because a lot of times Andrew will do something. I say, you know, I was thinking about doing the same thing here, or he'll read my mind, and we just, ensemble-wise, just so good together, and interpretively, things just mesh well.
There's an element of genius to like Mozart writing that, and you, if you want to, if you rehearse it too much, you sort of lose it. And I sort of, you know, what we do is we're very organic with how we've approached these. I mean, we've been doing it now for 2 years or so, rehearsing them, you know, just constantly, and not really talking too much about it, just feeling what it, feeling each other out and finding new things. And when we stop thinking of new things, you know, that's, it's got too old.
Also, when you're playing them, sometimes we will try new things, even in a performance.
All the time,
And it works, and sometimes it doesn't work, but it doesn't really not work.
Sure.
Because it's musically done, but we will say, you know, I don't think we'll do that next time. Let's look at it and try it this way. But it's, as far as I'm concerned, it's been a wonderful, joyful experience working with Andrew on this. Just great.
Well, what are you hoping that the people who come to these concerts, what are you hoping they'll like take away from this experience?
Well, I think a lot of these performances will probably be new to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are not open or aware of all these Mozart, you know, violin piano sonatas. So it'll be a kind of a fresh experience,
I feel. I think so. I mean, there are a few of these pieces that are sort of classics that are played by many sort of violinists, you know, one or two of them. But I think what's just amazing is the number of really top-class works that have a different style and feel, and just, I mean, they sound like Mozart, because you could never not sound like Mozart when you met, but they express a side of him that you know you don't see in the operas, you don't see in the symphonies, you don't see in the chamber music works, and you know, I think that's what I'm always sort of joyful about when we play them. It's like, wow, that sounds really cool.
You don't even, I don't see some of this in his solo sonatas.
Yeah, exactly.
The keyboard solo sonata. It's like a completely different composer.
Yeah, wow. Freer to some extent.
Freer, and he's willing to take chances,
mm-hmm.
you know, with how he develops the melodic line and also the harmonic structure. And a lot of it is, I find, for Mozart, very inventive. You know, he's taking chances here and there. And he's trying different things, and it goes along so freely and effortlessly, and it seems to be the right thing to do in his compositional techniques.
And even in the earlier set that you'd think were compositionally, you know, immature, but they're actually fresh and real and lively, almost
amazing,
more so than the later sonatas that were obviously more concert pieces. You know,
and they're not immature sounding at all. It's incredible.
No,
it's going to be such an amazing experience and so unique. And we're just so excited to have you both being able to do this for us. And
well,
so
thank you
both so much for coming in to tell us a little bit about it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Kate.